Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. I would like to start the session with the Srila Prabhupada's quote. Today is September 11th. One who is making false statement, he will suffer for that. San Francisco, September 11th, 1968. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So today we are very fortunate to have her, Grace Preeti Vilasni Mataji, to enlighten us on the topic of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, chapter 3, verse 18. From 18 it starts. I don't know where Mataji is going to end. Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nice to have you on the call, Mataji. It has been closer to 1 month that you did not give Chaitanya Bhagavat class. Thank you so much for coming and giving the class. I now hand over the call. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Vinita Gandharvika Mataji. Thank you, Kirtana Sundari Mataji. And Indu Mataji, all the coordinators, for giving me this opportunity. Thank you. We'll start with the prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatharine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajanulambita Bhujau Kanakavadatau Sankirtanai Kapitarau Kamalayadakshau Vishwam Bharau Dvijavarau Yugadharma Palau Vande Jagat Priyakarau Karunavatarau Jayati Jayati Deva Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Jayati Jayati Kirti Stasya Nitya Pavitra Jayati Jayati Bhritya Stasya Vishveshva Mutir Jayati Jayati Mritya Tasya Sarva Priyanam. We'll be reading from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, and this is Madhya Kanda. It is chapter 3 that we are reading currently. I will share the screen and we'll get started. So today we have to cover verses 18 to 36. That is what we will be covering. This entire chapter is about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifesting Varaha Dev in front of Murari Gupta. That is what the entire chapter is discussing. So this entire week, in fact, we will be seeing the same incident. And we'll see different portions of the same incident of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested the Varaha Rupa in front of Murari Gupta. Verse number 18. Ekadina Varaha Bhavera Shloka Suni Garjiya Murari Ghare Chalila Pani. One day when the Lord heard a verse glorifying Varaha, he roared loudly and went to the house of Murari. So actually in the previous verse, which was covered by Indu Mataji in the previous class, it was there was a discussion about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu getting into ecstasy whenever he heard about the Lord. So we see in the previous verse, it is mentioned, Gaurachandra became very filled with devotion to Krishna. Whenever the Lord heard any topic about Krishna, he was immediately influenced by that. He cried for 6 hours in the mood of a servant and so on. So here the message was in the previous verse was about how he would get into the mood of Akrura going to Vrindavan, right? So like that, whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard of, if it was a topic related about Krishna, related to Krishna, he was immediately influenced by that and he would have these different symptoms of ecstasy. So at this point in time, we see that in verse number 18, Yeah.
We are only covering today until 26, Mataji.
Sorry.
This week we are covering until 36. Whole week we will be continuing.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mataji. So here in verse number 18, it is mentioned that one day when the Lord heard a verse of glorifying Varaha, he roared loudly and he went to the house of Murari. That is pretty much a continuation of the previous class. Whatever the Lord heard of, if it was related to Krishna, he would get into that mood. So now, this particular day, the Lord heard a beautiful verse glorifying Varaha. So he took on the mood of Lord Varaha. He roared loudly. And Murari Gupta, who was living close to his house, he chose to go to Murari Gupta's house. So let's see what happened right after that. So he goes to Murari Gupta's house. And you all know about Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was a very great devotee of the Lord. And he was very, very, his favorite deity was Lord Ramachandra. He was very fond of Lord Ramachandra. So you know that very well, that there is a pastime when Murari Gupta was asked to chant Krishna and become a devotee of Radha and Krishna. It was very hard for Murari Gupta. Because again and again, his worshipable deity, Lord Ramachandra, was manifesting in his heart. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated him for this one-pointed devotion he had towards Lord Ramachandra. And it was revealed that actually his identity was Lord Hanuman. Murari Gupta's identity, original identity, is Lord Hanuman. So that is the background of this person that we're talking about, Murari Gupta. So let's see what happened when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his house. Verses 19 and 20. Antare Murari Gupta Prati Bada Prema Hanuman Prati Prabhu Ramachandra Yena Murari Rag Ghare Gela Sri Shashi Nandana Samhramai Karila Gupta Charana Vandana. The Lord was greatly affectionate to Murari, just as Lord Ramachandra was affectionate to Hanuman. As Sri Shachinandan entered the house of Murari, Murari immediately offered him obeisances. So just like how Lord Ramachandra exhibited his boundless affection to Hanuman, similarly, Mahaprabhu's associate Murari was an object of great love for Mahaprabhu. So he always treated him as one of his very close associates. So on hearing the descriptions of Varaha one day, the Lord became absorbed in the mood of Varaha and he goes to the house of Murari while roaring loudly. This is the commentary by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Shukara, Shukara, Bali Prabhu Chali Yaya Stambhita Murari Gupta Chaturdike Chaya Vishnu Grehe Pravishta Haila Vishwambara Sammukhe dekhena jala bhajana sundara varaha akara prabhu haila sekshane swanubhave gadu prabhu tulila dashane gharje yajna varaha prakashe kurachari prabhu bale mura stuti karaha murari. So as the Lord entered the house of Murari, so he was in the mood of Varaha, right? So as he entered the house of Murari, he called out, Shukara, Shukara, Bor, Bor. Murari Gupta was astonished and he looked all around. So imagine suddenly the Lord enters your house and he says, Shukara, Shukara. So Murari was very astounded. He didn't know what was happening and he was looking all around. Vishwambhara, then he entered the Vishnu temple in Murari Gupta's house, wherein he saw a beautiful water pot with a spout. So you must have seen such jugs or pots in India. So he saw a beautiful water pot that was there in the deity room for deity worship purposes. He saw a beautiful water pot with a spout and the Lord immediately assumed the form of Varaha and by his own sweet will, he picked up the water pot with his teeth. In this form of Varaha, the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices grunted and manifested four hoofs. Then the Lord ordered, Murari, offer prayers unto me. It's so beautiful that when Lord Varaha appeared, we read in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Varahadev appeared, he lifted the earth with his tusks. Okay, with his tusks. So the teeth of the boar is actually somewhat like the tusk of the boar. So similarly, here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his teeth, assuming this water pot to be Bhumi Devi, he's lifting it up with his teeth. And he suddenly manifested in front of Murari's eyes, hooves, not legs, hooves. So you all know what the hooves are. Hooves are basically the feet of an animal, the four-legged animal. Some of them have hooves. So he manifested hooves, he manifested four legs, and he took the form of a boar in front of Murari's eyes. And he looked at his devotee Murari and he said, Murari, now you offer prayers unto me. So let's see what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has to say. Gaurahari suddenly rushed towards Murari's house, where he entered the Vishnu temple while calling out, Boar, Boar. On hearing the sudden roaring and the word Shukara, Shukara, Sukara, Sukara from Gaurasundar, Murari could not understand what was happening. When the Lord saw a large water pot within the Vishnu temple, he picked it up with his teeth. At that time, Murari saw the Lord roaring in his form as a four-legged boar, the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Varahadev, even in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is described as the enjoyer of all sacrifice, Yajna Varaha, he is called. When the demigods and the sages, they glorify Lord Varaha after he appears, he is glorified as the embodiment of all sacrifices. So here also we see it is mentioned that he took this form as a four-legged boar, the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Varahadev is an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. So for Gaurasundar to display the form of Varaha, incarnation is to his appropriate devotee was proper. Now here comes a very important instruction by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says, a Mayavadi should not misunderstand from this that when a conditioned soul is freed from ignorance, he is able to exhibit such moods of the Supreme Lord in imitation of the Lord. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking the form of a boar. Now, Varaha is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord himself. So in ecstasy, he can take the form of a boar. But a conditioned soul, if he is thinking that he is free from ignorance, he should not start exhibiting the moods of the Supreme Lord. He should not say, okay, now I'm going to exhibit the mood of Lord Varaha or Lord Ramachandra or Krishna and start taking those forms and trying. One should not do such pastimes. Okay, if one does that, then it is considered Mayavad, because after all, the Jiva is different from the Supreme Lord. Yes, we are equal in certain respects, but still we are always different from the Supreme Lord. We should not think that we become the Supreme Lord just because we may be freed from the modes of ignorance, okay, from the modes of this material nature. To disrespect those deceitful, hellish persons who are cheated in this way by considering themselves Vishnu, the Lord personally exhibited these pastimes for their bewilderment. The eternally averse atheists fall into illusion by imitating the Lord's activities without understanding the Lord's characteristics. So if we are immaturely imitating the Lord's activities, then it is only an illusion. It is actually atheistic. It is Mayavad. It is atheistic. It is only a matter of imitation. Thus, they will bring havoc into this world by arranging for some duplicitous people. What is that? I'm jumping in. Just one second. Yeah. Duplicitous people to honor them in such a way that the painful conditions of hellish life, which are suitable rewards for such envious people, await them with miseries for unlimited years to come. The covered incarnation, Sri Gaurasundar, kept his own identity a secret even from his own devotees. If an abominable conditioned soul who is eligible for suffering unlimited years of hellish life and who daily undergoes three conditions of life considers the Supreme Lord to be a living entity like himself and makes special endeavors to be honored by his cheated followers, then such a cheater and the cheated lose their qualification to be called human beings, and due to the absence of four legs like a stool-eating boar, they become two-legged animals. Such two-legged animals can never exhibit four legs. In some future life, however, they will become four-legged stool-eating animals. Sri Chaitanya Deva exhibited four legs of his Varaha incarnation, and if an insignificant living entity tries to imitate the pastimes, it is simply ludicrous. This is what Dr. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is trying to tell us. So when we read the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should thoroughly understand his identity. He is the Supreme Lord, and in his ecstasy, he can assume, really he can assume the form of a boar. He can really assume the form of Lord Ramachandra. He can really assume the form of Krishna himself. He can assume any form. But conditioned people like us, maybe we are advancing in devotion, or maybe we have acquired a few mystic powers, we should not think that we are equal to the Lord and try to imitate the Lord. If we do so, we are only cheating ourselves, and we are also cheating the people around us. And it is clearly mentioned that they will in turn, in their next life, they will unfortunately fall down into such species. Like if someone is trying to imitate that he has become Lord Varaha, then in his next birth, he's only going to become a stool-eating boar in his next birth. So one should be very, very careful. So an insignificant living entity should never try to imitate the pastimes of the Lord. So this is a strong warning given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to all the devotees and also everybody else, any insignificant living entity. Let's see what happened after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered Murari's house like this and he took the form of the boar. Stabda haila Murari apurva dhashani kibalive Murari nai sevandani. Seeing this unprecedented sight, Murari became stunned. He was unable to find any words to speak. This is a normal reaction. He was completely stunned seeing the Lord exhibit the form of Varaha. Rabu bale bola bola kichu bhaya nani etadina nahi jana muni etani. The Lord said, speak up, don't be afraid. All these days, you did not know that I am here. So we will be stopping here. So here the Lord is telling Murari Gupta to speak up. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown his real identity to Murari. Earlier, Murari wasn't sure who this is. Is he really the Supreme Lord? He was thinking in his heart. But now the Lord is telling, speak up, don't be afraid. All these days you did not know that I am here. I'm right next to you. I'm in your vicinity. You didn't even realize that. So now you speak up. Now all your doubts must be cleared. And then in our next class, we'll try to see what happened, what Murari responded and how Murari offers very, very beautiful prayers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so now that we have seen these verses from 18 to 26, let's see a little more about Murari Gupta, about who he is. And we'll also see a little bit about Lord Varahadev. So today will be mostly an information sharing session. And most of you know all these pastimes. You all know who Lord Varahadev is, who Murari Gupta is. You know most of it. But we'll just brush up a little bit so we can relish the further pastimes in this chapter. There we go. I'm sharing my screen again. So these are verses 18 to 26. And they are describing Murari seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking the form of the boar. So Murari Gupta, who is he? Murari Gupta in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is described as the 21st branch of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was a very close associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this picture, you see a lot of young boys, a lot of young children. So Murari Gupta was slightly older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they would go to the same school. Actually, they were classmates. And Murari Gupta's demeanor was that he was very, very humble and meek. He had a lot of love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he hailed from a Vaidya family. Vaidya family means he hailed from a physician family. So his job was to be a physician. In one of the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada says that Murari Gupta was a perfect grihastha. Everybody should learn from the life of Murari Gupta. He was not only a doctor for the body, but he was also a doctor for the soul. So he was perfectly Krishna conscious, and he would treat all his patients in a nice way. And he also only accepted what came from his profession. He was a very genuine devotee. He never cheated anybody, and he lived the life of a perfect grihastha. So this is the description given by Srila Prabhupada about Murari Gupta in one of his purports. And you all must be aware that Murari Gupta is also the author of a biography called as Sri Chaitanya Charita. And he, along with many other people like Kamalakanta and Krishnananda, they all studied together with Nimai Pandit in the same school. But however, Murari Gupta was slightly senior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, there are some pastimes of Murari Gupta, very, very sweet pastimes. I won't be repeating the very famous pastimes of Murari Gupta trying to chant Lord Krishna's names, but he was so attracted to Lord Ramachandra. But there are many other pastimes. Like, for example, initially, Murari Gupta, for the first time when he saw Nityananda Prabhu, he didn't follow proper etiquette. He now, by this point in time, he became very, very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he could understand the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they were sitting together in the house of Srivast Thakur. So when Murari Gupta entered the house, you know, by natural feeling, he went and he offered his respects first to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he offered his respects to Nityananda Prabhu. Actually, Nityananda Prabhu, you all know, is older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya didn't like that. So he remarked, he told Murari Gupta, "You violated the social etiquette. You should first offer respect to Nityananda Prabhu and then to me." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this specific instruction to Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta's heart changed when he heard this instruction. And the next day, when he again saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu together, he first went and offered obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu, and then he offered obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at this point in time, when he corrected himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very happy, and he gave extra mercy to Murari Gupta. He gave his chewed pan and betel nut to Murari Gupta by expressing that he had given his special mercy to Murari Gupta. You see this picture here on the screen. These are the deities of Murari Gupta, of Lord Nityananda, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his worshipable deities. So both Gaura and Nithai, both of them are there. And there's another pastime of Murari Gupta when he was immersed in love of God. You know, when devotees, when they are thinking of Krishna constantly, they are not so much aware of the external environment. So once Murari Gupta was offered a plate of rice loaded with ghee. So before he began to eat that rice, he was thinking of Krishna so much that he picked up a few handfuls of rice and he was throwing it. "Krishna, eat, eat, eat." So he was just throwing it on the floor, and because he was in love of God. He didn't know what he was doing. He just wanted to offer Krishna something. So he was telling, "Oh Lord, please eat this ghee, eat this rice." So it was loaded with a lot of ghee and he was throwing it. The next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knocked his door and he came and said, "Murari, what did you do? I am suffering from indigestion. Can you get me some water?" So now Murari Gupta is a natural physician, right? He's a physician and he has a medicine for everything. The natural medicine sometimes for indigestion is to drink a lot of water to flush out the body. So he comes and he tells Murari, "Hey Murari, what did you do? You fed me so much rice with ghee, and having a lot of ghee results in indigestion. So please give me proper treatment for the problem that you have created." And then he sees this water pot from Murari Gupta, and he drinks that water and he gets cured. So even in the Varahadev pastime, the Lord picks up a water pot. Here he comes and asks Murari for water from the water pot. So this water pot seems to be very important in Murari Gupta's life. And just a quick question, so we can make it a little interactive to the audience, is which other devotee's water pot was very important to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Any answers?
Kolavecha Sridhar.
Kolavecha Sridhar. Yeah, that's right. So this Kolavecha Sridhar, he just had one water pot and it was dented in all sides. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he used to use that for everything. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to accept water from them. So this water pot, he comes and requests Murari Gupta, and Murari Gupta gives him water. Actually, in some editions, it is mentioned that he was eating, and it was Shivananda Sen who was offering him this rice. It was not Murari Gupta. But there are two different editions. But I've heard this in Guru Maharaj's lecture that Murari Gupta was eating and he was like, "Krishna, eat," and he was throwing rice. So I'm just sticking to that version. The other version could also be right. Maybe he had accepted the rice from Shivanand Singh. This is another very nice incident of Murari Gupta getting the name Ramadas, because you all know he's a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. So it so happened, this is from Murari Gupta's biography of Chaitanya Charita, right? His biography. From there, he has recorded this pastime. That once Lord Chaitanya, he comes and asks Murari Gupta to recite some verses that he had composed. Murari Gupta was a great poet. Like, obviously, if he has written a Mahakavya, like Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, then he must be a great poet, right? So he had composed verses in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Murari Gupta, Lord Chaitanya came to Murari Gupta and asked him to recite a few verses. So he says these beautiful verses. "I worship the blessed Lord and master of the three worlds, Sri Ramachandra. He wears a brilliant crown covered with a strand of jewels, whose shining lights up all directions. His dazzling earrings defeat the brilliance of Shukra and Brihaspati. His beautiful face looks like pure spotless moon. I worship the lotus feet of the master of the three worlds, Sri Ramachandra, whose charming eyes appear like blossoming lotus flowers. His red lips look like bimba fruits, and his well-shaped nose attracts everyone. His wonderful smile embarrasses the moonlight." So these were in glorification of Lord Ramachandra, which in turn were actually in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well, right? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Lord Ram. So when Lord Chaitanya heard these beautiful verses, he was so happy with Murari Gupta. He put his lotus feet on Murari Gupta's head, and he wrote the name Ramadas on Murari Gupta's forehead. So it's a very beautiful incident. And he said, "My dear Murari, from today on, by my mercy, you'll be known as Ramadas. I know that without Raghunath, without Lord Ramachandra, you cannot even live a moment. And please be assured and reassured that I am non-different from that Raghunath, Lord Rama." So he tells this to Murari and he writes Ramadas on the forehead of Murari. This is another incident when Murari Gupta takes the form of Garuda. It's very sweet because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once in the house of Srivas, he showed his Chaturbhuja Murti. So you all know in Mahaprakash Leela and so many other different places, I mean individually to many associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu has revealed different forms to each of his devotees. Every devotee has seen some unique form, right? So once when he was revealing his Chaturbhuja Murti as Lord Vishnu, Murari Gupta immediately assumed the form of Garuda to hold the Lord up. So in the mood of ecstasy, the Lord, taking his forearm form, he goes on the back of Murari and Murari assumes the form of Garuda. So there are a lot of beautiful moods for Murari. He's mostly Hanuman, sometimes he's Garuda. Both Hanuman and Garuda are known as the greatest servants of the Lord. They are very, very close to the Lord. Even when you see, many of you have this Goloka chart, right? So the two associates who are very, very crucial for Lord Narayana, the four-armed form of Lord Narayana, though Hanuman is an associate of Lord Ramachandra, he's a direct servant of Lord Ramachandra, but two associates who are considered as the feet of the Lord, who are always at the feet of the Lord. One is Garuda, the other is Hanuman. So these two are very, very important. These two forms of devotees are very, very important for the Lord. The Lord is always accompanied either by Hanuman or by Garuda as his Vahana, or as his, in Ramayana, Hanuman becomes the Vahana of the Lord, right? So both Garuda and Hanuman are considered important Vahans of the Lord. So now this Murari Gupta, he can assume the form of Garuda as well. So he assumed the form of Garuda and became the Vahana of the Lord. Now, I was just mentioning some time back that the Lord has shown different forms to different devotees. And many of you are aware, to some he showed the Shadbhuj form, to some he showed the form of Krishna, to some he showed the form of Radha and Krishna combined, like Ramananda Rai. Like that, to different devotees, he has shown different forms. Now, one form that Murari Gupta saw was the form of Lord Varaha. This is the exact description of how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assumed the form. You see the water pot here? He had the water pot with his teeth, the Sukara's teeth, the Dhamshtras, right, that protrude. And he exhibited a form with four hooves. See, these two hooves are here and the two hooves are here, like that. And he was very, very beautiful. Even if the Lord assumes the form of an animal, actually a hog or a boar or a pig is not considered a very auspicious, clean animal. But if the Supreme Lord assumes the form of a boar, he looks very, very beautiful. He looks extraordinarily transcendental and beautiful. So you see this beautiful vision that Murari Gupta had in his house. Now, very easy question. Which is the other form that Murari Gupta saw besides the boar form of the Lord? Any guesses?
Ram Darbar, entire Lord Ramachandra along with Sita and Lakshman.
Exactly, yeah. The entire Ram Darbar, yeah, you're right. He saw Lord Ramachandra, he saw Sita Devi, he saw the entire family. So these are the two forms of the Lord that Murari Gupta himself saw. In Mahaprakash Leela, the Lord appeared as Lord Ramachandra in front of him, and in his house, the Lord appeared as Varahadev, as you see. This beautiful water pot with a big spout. And this is our Supreme Lord. So there are many stories of Lord Varaha. We are taking a little detour from Murari Gupta. We are going to see some stories of Lord Varaha. Of Lord Varaha, how he actually appeared in Mayapur Dham. So once, long time back in Satya Yuga, there was a Brahmana by the name Vasudev. And he was a great devotee of Lord Varaha. He offered several prayers to the Supreme Lord Varaha, and he had a desire to see Varaha face to face. He was a big devotee of Lord Varaha. It's very rare, right, to see devotees who worship forms like Varaha or Matsya or Kurma. Generally, we see most devotees, they just like to worship Krishna or Rama because it is more relatable. But here was a devotee by the name Vasudev, who was especially very fond of Lord Varaha. And he kept offering prayers and he kept telling his desire that he wanted to see this particular form, Varahadev form, face to face. The Lord, who is very, very merciful, very soon he manifested himself in the form of a boar in front of this Vasudev. And how did the Lord look? The Lord looked extremely beautiful. He was decorated with ornaments. His feet, his neck, nostrils, face, eyes, they were all looking. It's very beautiful. Whenever the Lord appears, there is a statement in the Bhagavatam also. How is the Lord who's transcendental can take the form of a fish? When we discuss the Matsya incarnation in the Bhagavatam, this question is raised. And then Shukadev Goswami, he says that just like how the air carrying aroma is not attached to that particular smell for too long, right? Is the air itself affected by the smell? The air goes through a place where there is garbage. The air moves and it goes through a place, a beautiful garden where there are flowers and so on. But the air is continuously flowing and the breeze is flowing everywhere. But the breeze itself is not affected by those smells, you know, that different smell that is coming from different places. Similarly, the Lord is always transcendental. Even if he appears in an abominable form of a fish or a boar or a turtle or whatever it may be, the Lord is always transcendental and he is the most beautiful. So he had a very, very beautiful body, like very much like how you saw in the previous picture. He was garlanded and he had ornaments. He had a crown and he had jewels and he was looking resplendent. So similarly, Varaha, when he manifested in front of this devotee by the name Vasudev, everything was ornamented. He was looking very attractive. His body was as tall as a mountain, like you saw in the previous picture. His eyes were like lotus petals. They were very attractive. And the Brahmana, he had this beautiful vision of the Lord and he thought he was so fortunate. So immediately he falls on the ground and he offers his respects. And Varaha begins talking to this devotee. He tells, "My dear Vasudev, you're a great devotee and I'm very, very satisfied by your worship. Actually, when Kali Yuga comes, I will display my pastimes here." This place where this devotee Vasudev was worshipping the Lord and requesting the Lord to show his form as Varaha was actually in Navadvip. And this particular island is called as Koladvip. This is where in Satya Yuga, the devotee was praying to the Lord. And the Lord himself predicts, he says, "In Kali Yuga, I will come and display my pastimes here." And this Navadvip is such a beautiful place. There is no comparison to Navadvip anywhere else in the world. It is one of the most important places. It is the most famous places in this entire universe. And he tells him, he predicts this, "Very soon I will appear as a Brahmana in the same land." And this Vasudev, he was actually a great scholar. He was a great Brahmana. So it is mentioned that he went and researched all the scriptures and he found out that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to appear in Navadvip and he's going to perform Sankirtan. So Vasudev, he decided to call this place as Koladvip. Kola means a boar, I believe in Bengali, a boar. And it is also called as Koladvip Parvat. And some devotees identified this to be Giri Govardhan within Mayapur. So this area is where the vision of the boar was seen by this devotee by the name Vasudev. And it was named as Koladvip by him. And he also researched different scriptures and he found out that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is soon going to appear in this land. And he will perform the Sankirtan pastimes. And in fact, it is mentioned that this devotee Vasudev, he also started chanting the holy names of the Lord and he was performing Sankirtan in anticipation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearing on this land. In Mathura Vrindavan, we also see the appearance of Lord Varaha. There are two Varahas in this place. So there is a little background. Before we go there, I was just thinking in Mayapur itself, let's finish talking about this particular place in Koladvip. So it is mentioned, Panchaveni in Navadvip is a place where five rivers join the Ganges. The Bhagirathi mixes with Mandakini and Alakananda, and the Saraswati, of course, flows from inside. She's always hidden, right? She comes, she's Antarvahini. She comes from inside and she joins the other rivers. And from the west, Yamuna flows along with Bhogavati. And the Manasi Ganga also quickly flows here. So this place in Navadvip is called as Mahaprayag. All the different rivers come and they merge here. And in the past, many sages have performed several sacrifices along with Brahma in this place. So Nityananda Prabhu in Navadvip Mahatmya, he mentions that if one actually comes and drinks some water here or takes a bath here, he will never take birth again. And if one leaves his body here in this place, which is called Panchaveni, he will go directly to Goloka Vrindavan. And this entire area is celebrated as Kulya Pahada, and it is situated on the bank of the river Ganges. And this is the exact mountain that looks like Govardhan. And this region is called as Koladvip. So this is the place where this pastime of Vasudev also happened. He's seeing the form of the Lord as Varaha. And then here is a small mountain, and there is also Panchaveni, all the rivers merging. So it's considered as very, very important place and very, very potent place. And it is recommended that people go and take some water, or if they give up their life there, they will even go back to the spiritual world. As I mentioned, Lord Varaha in Mathura and Vrindavan. So there are two, many of you are familiar with this Adi Varaha temple, the Shweta Varaha. You see this little boar who's whitish in color and he has the earth on his hooves, I mean on his tusks. This is Shweta Varaha, very, very, very sweet deity, very cute deity. And also, not only is he there, but there is also another Varaha Dev in Vishram Ghat. So the very famous Vishram Ghat, everybody knows that after killing Lord, when Lord Varaha killed Hiranyaksha, he rested here in Satyayuga, and that place is called as Vishram. He took rest, right? Vishram Ghat. Vishram Ghat is very much the place. Anyone who goes to Mathura Vrindavan, they first stop at Vishram Ghat. Even in the story of Gopakumar and Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we see Gopakumar first stops at Vishram Ghat. So Vishram Ghat is a very important place. It is in fact almost like the first most important place when you enter Mathura Dham. So Vishram Ghat, here is the deity on top that you see here in this picture. He is Lord Varaha, who stayed there after killing Hiranyaksha. And regarding the Shweta Varaha, it is mentioned that he was first worshipped by Lord Indra, and Indra later gave it to Indrajit, who was his son. And he kept it in Sri Lanka because obviously, not his son, sorry, forgive me for that. Indrajit is the conqueror of Indra. He's the son of Ravana. But later, Indrajit had taken that deity that was worshipped by Indra to earth, and it was kept in Sri Lanka. And from there, Shatrughna, who's the brother of Lord Ramachandra, got the deity from Sri Lanka and gave it to Lord Ramachandra. And Ramachandra had worshipped this deity in the banks of the river Yamuna in Mathura. And it's not very far away from Vishram Ghat. So these two deities are worshipped in Vrindavan. So those who go to Vrindavan for Parikrama, you can go and see these two beautiful deities of Lord Varaha. I think we heard the story recently, I think in our previous class, that Lord Varaha, I mean, Krishna showed his Varaha form to the gopis. There is a nice Vraj Katha where Lord Krishna, he decides to reveal his form as Varaha to the gopis. And the form of Radha, Krishna and Varaha is also there near the Krishna Balram temple. So one can go and take darshan of Krishna revealing his form as Varaha. Just like how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his form as Varaha to Murari Gupta, similarly Krishna and Dwapar Yuga, he also wanted to reveal his form as Varaha and he showed it to the gopis. So this is there close to the Krishna Balram temple. So these are the different forms of Varahadev who are manifested both in Mayapur Dham as well as Vrindavan Dham. Prabhupada's instructions on how to depict Varahadev. So we all know that Lord Varaha, sometimes he is depicted as a half human and half boar. There are many pictures of Lord Varaha like that. You know, you must have seen plenty of pictures of the Supreme Lord being half, you know, bottom, he's like fully human. And on top, he just has the face of a boar. There were some artists who had inquired from Prabhupada about how to actually paint Lord Varaha as per the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada gives specific instructions to them that yes, it is common to see Lord Varaha sometimes in temples, even the Sri Vigraha of Varaha Dev, like the very famous Sri Mushnam. There is a temple which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself visited and worshipped. There is a form of Varaha Dev where he is half human and the top part is a boar. It is a common thing in Shilpa Shastra, or it's a common way of depicting the Lord. So this doubt was specifically asked, but how to depict him in the paintings? How did he really appear when he killed Hiranyaksha? So our Prabhupada did mention that Lord Varaha should be depicted like an animal itself. Like you see, he should have four hooves. The bottom hooves should be like legs of the animal, and the top hooves can be raised. And he should look very beautiful. He should look very beautiful. He should be wearing garlands and ornaments, and he should have lotus-like eyes and all that. And Prabhupada says, tells the artist that you should make him as attractive as possible. So even if he is a boor, he should look extremely attractive. Because the devotees were thinking how to make a boar look attractive. It is so difficult, right? But Srila Prabhupada said, yes, in paintings you can show that Lord Varaha can look really attractive, and he should be manifested with boar hooves. So most of the ISKCON paintings, you will see Varahas always like this. Okay, but of course, in Shilpa Shastra and in temple worship, it is not abnormal to see the Lord as half human and half animal. But in some temples, you see this temple, right? He's got the hands of the Supreme Lord, four-armed form. And here also you see it sometimes. That is normal. Okay. So these are some instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Now again, quiz question, everybody here. Who are the two Varahas mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam? Murari Gupta saw two forms of the Lord. He saw Varahadev and he also saw the Ramachandra form of the Lord. Shweta Varaha and
Rakta Varaha.
Rakta Varaha, yeah. Shweta Varaha and Rakta Varaha. And Ketada Sundari Mataji, you want to say more?
No, just the same thing.
Yeah. So Shweta Varaha, form of the Lord, appeared. He appeared during the Swayambhuva Manu's time. And how did he appear? He appeared from the nostril of Brahma. So it so happened that when Brahma started creating different living entities, first he created Manu. And Manu was in charge of creation of all the human beings who would be residing on earth. But then when Manu wanted to start his job, he didn't find the earth. So he asked Brahma, Brahma, you have been doing this job of creation every kalpa. So from your previous kalpas, you should have an idea of where all the human beings would be living. If they are living on earth, currently the earth is missing. Where is the earth? So please find the earth so I can start creating. So then Brahma meditates on the Lord because he realizes that the earth is missing from her place. So he begins to meditate on the Lord, and from his nostril, a very small form of the Lord in the form of a Varaha, he appears from his nostril. And then initially he's really, really tiny, the size of a thumb, Bhagavatam says. And then he becomes really big, like the size of an elephant. He becomes very big. And Brahma is a little confused initially, but then he looks up at the beautiful form of this Varaha. First he's confused, he's bewildered, he's thinking, who's this boar? But then he realizes, seeing the beauty of the boar, that this is none other than the Supreme Lord. And then the Lord, very nicely, he dives into the Garbhodak ocean because he understands that the earth has fallen in the direction of Rasatala. The verses of Bhagavatam says it is towards the Rasatala region, which means down in the Garbhodak ocean. So Lord Boar, as soon as he appears, actually, Brahma and all the sages, they sing beautiful glorification of Varahadev. Even at that time, he is glorified in lovely verses, very, very lovely verses. His entire beauty is described, how beautiful he looks. And accepting all those prayers, Varaha goes down into the Garbhodak ocean and he lifts up the earth very carefully and he places her in the right position. So that was Shweta Varaha. Yeah, that temple is what you saw in the Mathura slide that we saw, the same temple. He's white in color and he lifted the earth. And the other Varaha that appeared was during the time of Chakshush Manvantara. There was a sudden deluge. Why? Because Hiranyaksha was also present there. And in one of the purports, Prabhupada writes that this Hiranyaksha, he was very fond of gold and he was disturbing the earth so much. He was drilling for gold and he was disturbing her so much. It was creating a lot of problem. So at that time, Hiranyaksha had also gone down into the ocean and he was trying to catch a fight with everybody. He was asking Varuna for a fight. He was asking everybody for a fight. So at that time, Boar appeared. Varahadev, he appears and he goes into the ocean and he lifts up earth. He places her in the right place and then he fights with Hiranyaksha and he kills Hiranyaksha. He's also called as Neela Varaha, this Rakta Varaha. He's reddish because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that when an elephant is very angry, his cheeks and his trunk become reddish. So this Varaha was very angry. So he's called as Rakta Varaha. But if you see the exact verses of Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam describes him as Neela Varaha. Both are correct. Neela because he's blackish. So he's Neela Varaha. At the same time, he's Rakta Varaha. So this Varahadev, he lifts up earth and also he fights with Hiranyaksha and he kills Hiranyaksha. So these are, this is all about Murari Gupta and Varaha. And this is these few verses talk about Murari Gupta seeing the form of Lord Varaha face to face, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealing his form as Varaha. So we'll end here. It was only an information giving session. Any questions? We'll wait for the further classes to see more into this pastime. Yes, Mataji. Anita Mataji.
Hi, Krishna Mataji. Dhanvatanam. It's a very, very beautiful session. Thank you. Very lot of information and lot of sweet pastimes. Re-remembered all those beautiful pastimes. Just one thing, like, maybe I don't know. Do you know in the pastime where Krishna shows as Varaha to gopis?
It is just mentioned in Raj Katha. I don't know the exact reference, but the other day, I think Indu Mataji was talking about Indradhumna Maharaj's class, right? If I'm not.
Yeah. Okay. I'll check back again. Thank you.
Sure.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, ma'am.
Nita Mataji, go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanapram. It's a very nice class, Mataji. What a wonderful class. I'm sorry. Very nice class, Mataji. So, actually, I had a doubt of this Shweta Varaha. Shwambhava Manu is asking to Brahma. And after that, how Shweta Varaha is getting the earth back? Can you describe, Mataji? I didn't get that.
He dives into the water and he lifts up the earth and he places the earth back in our place. And then Manu is able to create. That's all.
Okay. So at that time, no fight. It was peaceful.
Mm.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you.
Very well. Yeah. And Kirtida Mataji, I was thinking, since there is a mention of this temple, maybe when you go to the dham, you can actually check out the temple.
Sure.
Krishna showing the form of Varaha to the gopis.
Yeah, sure.
I have not been to many places in Vrindavan, so maybe.
Hare Krishna Prithvi Lasni Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji, for such a beautiful class. Very grateful to you. Your class is full with the pastimes again. And you were saying that Govardhana Hill in Koladip, right, Mataji?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I went there, Mataji. I am so happy. At just one place, whatever you said, I went. Oh, one day I will visit all the places, but it makes us happy. Okay, I also went there. Okay,
I'm so glad. I am only speaking. I've not been to most of these places. I'm just collecting information and sharing. That's all.
Yeah, and very beautiful pastimes, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a nice pastimes class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
I like that pastime, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was correcting Murari Gupta for not giving obeisances to Lord Nityananda. And even that in the case of this Panihati festival is also like that only, Namataji. He crossovers Nityananda Mahaprabhu and goes and meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is that devotee?
Raghunathas
Goswami, yeah.
Yeah, slightly different, but still, yes, similar.
So, because he's crossing over Nityananda Mahaprabhu and directly meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, for that,
no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not present in that Panihati festival.
Yeah, he appears later.
Okay. Maybe I got confused with all the pastimes. Okay, Mataji, I was remembering that one. I don't know. Very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Mataji, one last question. Shweta Varaha, that fish incarnation is also there, Mataji. Is there any relation between these two? Like when that is, which yuga is that happening, Mataji, the fish incarnation?
See. There is some
expectation, no?
See, the thing is, in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami says that there can be a deluge after every manvantara, and at that time, 14 times the fish incarnation appears. Okay? So we are all talking about this kalpa only, all these incarnations, but they appear again and again. Some of the incarnations appear multiple times in a kalpa. Krishna appears only once in a kalpa. So this, what's his name? This Vaivasvatamanu, Satyavrata, King Satyavrata, right? So Vaivasvatamanu, before he appears as Vaivasvatamanu, this fish incarnation's description is present in the Bhagavad.
Okay, Mataji.
Before the seventh month.
Okay. Thank you.
So two Varahas are mentioned in this Kalpa. According to Rupa Goswami, actually, though only one is particularly described, according to Rupa Goswami, after every, or maybe Sridhar Swami, one of them, in Raghu Bhagavatamrita, he describes, after every manvantara, there will be a fish incarnation. Like that.
Okay.
Okay, Mataji. Mataji is left, I think.
That's what I'm seeing, Mataji. Mataji's connection gone, or maybe computer off. Charge went away, I think so. I'm thinking like. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Connection. Mataji. Mataji, can I come again with the last point which you do?
Yeah, so this Vaivasvata Manu was the one who actually was King Satyavrata in the previous time when the fish incarnation happened, right? Correct, Mataji. That is the description given. But if you read Laghu Bhagavatamrita, the fish incarnation appears at least 14 times in a kalpa. Is that okay? Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear. I'm just wondering. 14 times, it's like too much of times. I'm learning this for the first time. Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah. But one time is described in Bhagavad. Yeah.
Okay. So then it means that other incarnations appear so many times. That's what you're saying, right?
They appear one time. Some. It depends. Every incarnation is different. It appears only once.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you. Clear. Thank you, Mataji.
Okay.
So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna
Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. Sorry. Yes, Mataji.
Oh, Revati Mataji got disconnected or what?
No, the other Mataji started talking, so I thought I went on mute, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class, Mataji. I did not know this much details about the Varaha Avatar, but today I came to know a lot of details about it, and then would love to visit the temples what you had mentioned in the Vrindavan, Mataji, next time. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your time and the beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Revati Mataji. Fair association.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Sri Guru and Garanga. Very, very beautiful class. And I like to hear Bore Avatar, Bore incarnation. Two times it happened, and it was a remembering over and over to me like that. And the other thing, whatever you talk about the in the gopis, he showed his bore incarnation. So Mataji, I want to say you that I am going in this 19th September to Vrindavan. So first I will go to Ahmedabad 10 days, and then 2 months I will stay at Vrindavan. So I will try to go and there and do the darshan over there, Mataji. And your blessings and prayers and wishes I want, Mataji.
My prayers always, Mataji. I have nobody to bless but my prayers, definitely. Yeah, I pray everybody.
You are going on 19th, right? 19th is my son, elder son's birthday. Please pray for him, Mataji.
Sure, Mataji. I will pray for him. And happy Krishna conscious birthday to your son, Mataji.
Yeah, thank happy birthday.
In advance. I will surely pray. Mataji, the other good news I am telling you all, that this Saturday we are going to get initiation from Radhanath Maharaj, me and Megha, Mataji.
Finally, congratulations.
Thank
you, Mataji. Congratulations.
But I need your prayers and wishes all devotees.
Yeah, congratulations. Megha Mataji, congratulations.
Congratulations, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Just prayers for both of them that we can do the advance in spiritual journey.
Hare Bol, Mataji. Congratulations,
Mataji. Hare Krishna, thank you all devotees. This is all because of all devotees' prayers and wishes, I think. So it's very, very nice to stay in the devotees' association.
I'm so happy for you, Mataji. There's a long wait, very, very long wait.
Yes.
Yeah.
You said Saturday,
congratulations,
right?
Mataji.
Yeah, this Saturday.
I'll talk to Mataji. Yes.
Thank you, Mataji.
Congratulations, Mataji.
Mataji, you are chanting every day sincerely, morning, mid-morning, anytime chanting, no, when you are there, Mataji. All
but
you are
Mataji,
chanting.
Right now, what happened, you know, because of some taking medicine, I cannot wake up too early like before. I just wake up 5 o'clock and 5:15 like that. So, and when I do everything, the class is going to finish. So, I do chanting start after that and then I hear the Bhagavatam class sometimes, and sometimes I just do chanting continuously then.
That's okay, Mataji. You have to take care of your health.
Sometimes I cannot attend the in the morning chanting too, and sometimes class too. But I do whatever Krishna makes me to do, I do that.
Thank you, Mataji. That's why we have mid-morning chanting. People who cannot make it in the early morning can come and chant in the mid-morning. That's okay, Mataji. Health needs rest, means rest.
Right, that's now fine. I get so much sleepy in the morning, Mataji. So please pray to Krishna. Even though I don't eat too much at night time, sometimes I do fast something. Even though it happens to me nowadays, little.
That's okay, Mataji. Your chanting is so nice, even though it's not in the early morning as you are feeling, but then you're chanting so sincerely. That's what it is needed, Mataji. Thank you for your sweet association.
Yeah,
every single
pray,
morning. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. So we have raised hand Darshini Mataji before we go to others. Darshini Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranams. Mataji, very, very sweet class. Mataji, I had a few questions.
Yes.
Hare Krishna Mataji, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, Mataji, I had few questions. Like you were mentioning about Krishna appearing only once in, the Manvantara, right? Like I have this question, like Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma, right? Yes, Mataji?
Wait.
Yes, Mataji, go ahead, Mataji. Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma, that is correct.
Yes, Mataji. So, like, you know, in our universe, like Krishna appears once, and in another universe, Krishna will appear one more time, right? I mean, for them, it's once, right? So, I was just wondering, like, Krishna may perform different leelas in different universes, right? So the Bhagavatam stories also will be different in different universes.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, Mataji. And then,
so, Mataji, even within this universe, the pastimes that Krishna is performing is very difficult to record everything. Bhagavatam has not recorded every single pastime that Krishna has performed. Right? Krishna is performing so many pastimes every day, every minute. And some of the pastimes you might not find in Bhagavatam also. Sometimes in Garga Samhita, there are some extra pastimes. Or in Vishnu Puran, there are some extra pastimes. So similarly, Krishna's pastimes are unlimited. In other universes, he could be performing so many more pastimes. It is mentioned that even Sesha cannot keep up with the pastimes that Krishna has performed.
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much. Mataji, and then in text 24, in the purport, it was mentioned about the three conditions of life. So does it mean the material modes of nature, or what does it mean there? I didn't understand.
Because specifically later, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati talks about mode of ignorance, transcending that. A person who is even thinking that he has transcended these modes also, even if he's becoming free from ignorance completely, still he cannot become like that. Right? We can become a pure devotee, but we can never become God. So it is about the three modes of nature.
Yes, Mataji. Mataji, and also, like, you know, I was just reflecting on this one point that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, you know, when he heard about different incarnations of the Lord, he would get into the mood of that particular form. I was thinking how important for us also it is to get into the mood of the devotee when we read about the different devotees of the Lord in different incarnations. Like, it is actually really difficult to get into their mood and surrender. And like every great devotee in the scriptures has a very great role to play. And it's so difficult for us to get into their mood and give that level of surrender and give that level of love to God. But, you know, we should try our best to imbibe that so that, you know, by our try, one day Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu will be pleased and they'll actually give us that benediction of actually surrendering unto them completely. And also it is said that, you know, if someone believes in Navadvipdham fully, Vrindavan Dham will manifest to them. So I was just thinking, you know, the first manifestation you brought about Giriraj Govardhan and Navadvipdham today. So it was like so sweet about Kolodvip Parvat. So yes. It was like a very sweet point that you gave us today. And yes. I was also thinking, like, yeah, if we, like, you know, sometimes Krishna is like always with us, right? But still we cannot, you know, recognize him. We cannot realize him in our life. Like, so like Murari Gupta, we should never give up our bhakti. If we just keep on holding on to the process of bhakti, one day Krishna himself will reveal himself to us through our guru. So I was just reflecting on this. Thank you so much, Mataji. Then with pranams, Hare Krishna.
It's very, very nice. Thank you, Mataji. Little journey state. In fact, when you were talking about thinking about the devotees of the Lord, in one place, Prabhupada also mentions this, that he tells during the Damodar Leela, when Mother Yashoda was churning the butter, she was churning the butter, at that time, there's a description of Mother Yashoda in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada says that one should meditate on Yashoda. Prabhupada doesn't say one should meditate on Krishna. He says one should meditate on Yashoda. That way we can naturally develop a love of God following in the footsteps of Yashoda. It's a very beautiful point, and it is also very relevant to all of us in terms of practice. We should actually think about the associates of the Lord. We should meditate on the love that they are having for the Lord. That way we can become a follower of the devotee of Krishna. So Prabhupada gives a very beautiful formula how to perform Radhanuga Bhakti eventually as we progress, how to actually become a perfect devotee just by following in the footsteps of the associates of the Lord. Very nice, Mataji. Thank you for bringing it.
Mataji, can I mention one last thing?
Yes.
Mataji, like, yeah, today's Ekadashi here, and I was hearing one clip of Nitai Sevani Mataji, and she was telling that when we are taking darshan in
the same thing, I was remembering.
Yeah, today I just now I watched that clip, Mataji, and you were just relating to the same thing. Thank you, Darshini Mataji, about this topic. I was thinking maybe today, a whole day, I had to listen about the greatness of devotees than greatness of the Lord. I want Darshini Mataji to tell completely. I took over, sorry, but I couldn't control myself about how every day there is one theme that Lord or Srila Prabhupada wanted to tell us. So today is this theme that you have to glorify more devotees, and by serving devotees, Krishna will ultimately see you. That's what the today's I was taking the lesson for me. Mataji, you can continue. I'm so sorry.
Hari Bol, Mataji. There's no necessity to tell sorry and all, Mataji. Like, you know, this is the enthusiasm that we need, right? We want to talk more about Krishna, we want to talk more about devotees. Yeah, Mataji was telling that, you know, the dham is like very crowded when we go to temples and all. So we are not sure if, you know, we are taking darshan of the deity, but we don't know if Radha Mother will see us. We don't know if Radha Shamsundar will see us. So Mataji was telling that, you know, there is one trick, there is one shortcut, you know, to surely make sure that, you know, Radha Mother will see us, that Radha Shamsundar will see us. And she was telling, like, in between all that crowd, if you think about the pure devotee of the Lord even once, then Lord will see you. So there's no question of God not seeing you. So today also we spoke about Murari Gupta so much. So although everyone's performing so much bhajan, and you know, my bhajan is very weak, but because you spoke about Murari Gupta and I heard today, I can just tell that Krishna somewhere somehow is seeing me. So thank you so much, Mataji.
Lovely, lovely. Very, very nice. Very nice realization. And this is the verse that I was also talking about. I love this verse. I love the way Prabhupada has put forth some very nice secrets in Krishna consciousness here. So this is a glorification of Mother Yashoda, and this is the purport of Prabhupada. Anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious and motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate on the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not to become like them. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees must cherish this description, always thinking of Mother Yashoda's feature, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda in parental affection for Krishna. And this applies to every single devotee, right? Every single devotee and associate of the Lord. We should take full advantage when their pastimes are being spoken, when descriptions about their love for Krishna are being described. We should continuously meditate on their devotion, like you both mentioned. Yeah, it's extremely important. Anything else?
Thank you, Mataji, for pulling out the verse and reading the purport. Very grateful to
Hare
you.
Hare Krishna, ladies. Hare Krishna, devotees. Can I add one more thing? You guys are all talking.
How can the class help your realization?
Well, I've been in and out because of so many things, but I was just thinking, as you were saying, talking about a pure devotee, and just thinking about Srila Prabhupada is enough, right? Because he is, and he's not somebody that is so far away, in a sense, from Murari Gupta and all these people, are people that we don't really know. Srila Prabhupada is right there. Plus, we have like firsthand information of people who were with him and who have seen him and who have watched his magic happen. So I was just thinking, even if we just think about Srila Prabhupada every morning and say thank you, Srila Prabhupada, we can maybe become some kind of a devotee close to what Srila Prabhupada is. Obviously, we can't become like Srila Prabhupada, as you said, Sonaki, but maybe we can achieve a little bit of his bhakti and a little bit of his conviction and his faith, you know, that he has. I'm reading Chasing the Rhino, is it? Chasing the Rhino with Swami, that was called the volume 2. Unbelievable. Unbelievable when you read that book and you see all the things that Prabhupada has done. Just thinking about those and just meditating on those pastimes. Hopefully we can be as courageous and as far seeing as he is and do some magic for the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna.
Beautiful, beautiful.
What is that book, Mataji? Book or
what? Shyam Sundar Prabhu, right?
Okay, okay.
It's Shyam Sundar Prabhu's book, Chasing the Rhino with the Swami. And it talks, and he was the secretary of Srila Prabhupada. Shyam Sundar is Malati's husband, Malati Devi Das's husband. Mm-hmm. Okay. The first set of devotees that did the whole Beatles thing and all that stuff. So he was a secretary for Srila Prabhupada, I think 6 years, 4 years or 6 years in the beginning, going all these different places, traveling around the world. Was there, when Vrindavan, Mathura, Vrindavan, Mayapur and Bombay, Mumbai were all being put together. So we are blessed by having the association of these devotees who were under his special protection and care, and watching the magic that they did. They too were like, it was unbelievable what they had accomplished. And they had so much faith that it didn't matter. Srila Prabhupada says, go do this. They had so much faith. They just, okay. And Krishna made it happen. And that's the kind of conviction we need to get, mm-hmm. that we just do it what we need to do. And if it happens, well and good. If it's not, well, it was who could catch a rhino anyway, right? Hare Krishna.
Nice. Very nice. Thank you, Mataji.
So true. We should have full belief on Guru's words and just go ahead. That's it. Don't think second time. It will definitely happen. Is there anybody having any more realizations, questions? We have a lot of chat messages for Preeti Mataji. Yeah, I can read it.
Yes, Mataji, I'll read.
Okay, Mataji is reading that messages for herself. And if there are no more questions or realizations, we can close. Okay. I would like to offer my obeisances to Mataji and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Nama Ananta Koti Vaishnavin Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Hagre Sri Vilasni Mataji Ki Jai.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, everyone. Hari Bol, closing the call. Hare Krishna.